Today we're going to just move off the Psalms, and we're going to begin looking at Revelation chapter 21. And it's quite a significant piece of scripture as far as the new church goes. It speaks of the descent of the new Jerusalem and the creation of a new heavens and a new earth. And today we're going to be particularly focusing on this idea of a new heaven and a new earth. And with New Church Day coming up within the next month on June 19, we will, of course, be celebrating the spiritual revelation that was given by the Lord in the heavenly doctrines for the new church. And this revelation, while it is described in the works of the heavenly doctrines in a historical sense, a spiritual historical sense, of course, does have application for every single person who is engaged in walking the spiritual path. Because it's all about leaving behind the old that the new might become manifest in our life. And we're going to be focusing on that this morning. What is this new heaven and this new earth that the Lord is seeking to create within us? And what is the old heaven and the old earth that is to pass away? And the other thing we'll be looking at this morning is also this idea of the sea shall be no more. What is the sea that is being spoken about here in the scriptures? Because the word has application to the things of the mind, and we have to constantly remind ourselves of this that so that we don't get caught up in the literal meaning of the words. The words are symbolic. They represent spiritual realities. And so we're going to be exploring these over the weeks leading up to June the 19th. So our first reading from the Old Testament this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 and 18. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered to come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And our readings this morning from the Heavenly Doctrines are from the work, the Arcana Celestia, beginning with number 4535, subsection 2. Those who do not look beyond the literal sense cannot conceive of anything else than this, that the whole sky together with this planet will be annihilated, and then the dead for the first time will rise again and dwell in the new heaven and on the new earth. But these places in the word should not be understood in that way, as may be recognized from other places in the word where the heavens and the earth are referred to. Those who have any belief in an internal sense can see plainly that a new heaven and a new earth are used to mean a new church which takes over when the previous one passes away. And that heaven is the internal aspect of that new church, and earth the external aspect of it. Also from 9:31, everyone who has been regenerated and becomes a member of the church, that is, becomes the church, and when he has been created anew, his internal man is called a new heaven, and his external a new earth. Now, final readings from number 9755. The sea means factual knowledge which has the world as the end in view. Its waves are reasonings that are the product of worldly notions about divine matters. Consequently, being immersed in the sea means being immersed so thoroughly in factual knowledge which is the product of worldly and earthly notions that there is no belief whatever in God's truth. So we're looking at this vision of John's, of the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, found in the book of Revelation. Now, the spiritual meaning of this particular passage is found in a number of places within the heavenly doctrines. It is found in the New Jerusalem, in the work The New Jerusalem and its Heavenly Doctrine. It's also found in the Apocalypse Revealed. So I just encourage you, if you want to gain a fuller sense of the meaning behind these words, then I'd encourage you just to read what's written in the doctrines in regard to them. But of course, the whole of the book of Revelation is a fascinating read. And of all the books that make up the New Testament, this one stands out as being very different in its style and its content. It is what is termed apocalyptic literature, and it's more in keeping with, in terms of its style, with the Old Testament prophetic books. But it is now a book that is, of course, well accepted within the Christian tradition, within the Christian church, and it is included within the canon of divine revelation that constitutes the New Testament. But this has not always been the case. The very nature and content of this book that has meant that down through the Christian age there has been a lot of debate and many disagreements with regard to its meaning and its place within the church. But from the perspective of spiritual Christianity for the new church, the difficulties that others find with this book are resolved through an emphasis on its spiritual content. Many of the difficulties other faiths have with this book are due to looking at the text and reading it naturally or in terms of literal events that are to happen sometime in the future. But if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, you will know that it is rich in symbols, that it includes fantastic creatures. And all these things come together in a battle of good against evil. This book was never intended to be taken literally or historically. It's all symbolic, and until we see this, the book will remain closed to us. So thankfully, the teachings of spiritual Christianity are able to serve as a guide in bringing to us its interpretation. And when this is combined with a reflective life practice, what can be a murky world of symbols gives way to vivid descriptions of the spiritual processes involved in yours and mine and other people's regeneration. You see, the battles in the book describe the battles that take place between the natural and the spiritual man within us. In the opening verse of the book of Revelation, we are told what this book is. There it states that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this should not be read primarily as a revelation belonging to Jesus Christ. That's not the idea here. Rather, you should be thinking in terms that this is a revelation concerning the unfolding of Jesus Christ or the Word as it operates within the human mind. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ becoming manifest within our own life. This is the basis for how this book needs to be read and understood. This is what the spiritual details here are about, what the symbols represent. And so when we have the key to understanding this work, we then have what is a detailed map that can lead and guide those who are consciously engaged in a spiritual practice based on the Word and the heavenly doctrines. We can then look at the book of Revelation and we can see what is entailed in the spiritual life. We are given an insight into what must come to be in our life if we are to be freed from the lower lusts of the natural man and elevated into the spiritual life, that is those heavenly loves, termed love to the Lord and love towards our neighbor. And so today we come to the second last chapter of the book. So in a sense, we are beginning at the end of the book. But beginning at the end is useful because it enables us to see what the Lord is seeking to achieve in our life. We can see the outcomes that are connected with all that has gone before. And so near the end of the book, we read in verse 1 of chapter 21 these words, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer is." What we are reading here is of a change from one state to another state. The processes that are involved in our regeneration are designed to move our sense of ourself out of what is lower, or the proprium, or the ego, into what is of the Lord, so that we can be found planted in what is higher, heavenly or spiritual loves. Now, every one of us from a spiritual perspective can be viewed as a heaven and an earth, where heaven represents the more internal level of being and earth represents the more external level of being. So prior to being regenerated or engaging in a spiritual life practice, our personal heaven and earth is found in what is opposed to living a genuine spiritual life. In fact, the heavenly doctrines state that we are virtually unable to draw a distinction between what is internal and what is external due to the fact that our sense of ourselves is so immersed in the body or the external level that we pretty much live our lives oblivious to what is higher. Now, this state where external things dominate a person's life is called hell. That's what it is. Because when external things dominate, heavenly things are absent. So where internal things rule over external things, that is when the Word, when the truths of the Word and the goods of the Word rule over what is external, then that is called heaven, because that is what we experience in our life. And here in this verse, that first state where external things dominate over internal things is referred to as the first heaven and the first earth that is to pass away. Now, there's something we need to grasp in order to understand this. And it is this, the states of life that we experience and identify with as our inner life, or how we feel, are nothing more than the effects of the beliefs and desires that make up our mind. The way you feel is connected to the beliefs and values that you are living out of in that particular moment of time. Now, this is a very practical and concrete idea from a spiritual perspective. And it is one that can liberate us if we can truly get a hold of it. Because it means that when we give serious attention to spiritual ideas, to spiritual teachings or concepts, and we use them of our own free will to reflect on and adjust our thinking and life, that we open ourselves up to experiencing life very differently. So this understanding that we can gain when we look to the spiritual sense of the word is able to open up possibilities for change and transformation. What or how you feel in yourself at any given time can be regarded as a reflection of the underlying beliefs, expectations, and values that your sense of self has identified with as being you. When we see this, we can see that we are in fact responsible for how we feel. But there is a reluctance that flows from our natural man to accept this. But the spiritual man is well aware that this is in fact the case. It's too easy for us to just run with how we are feeling and remain unconscious of the negative influences that are active in our mental states. If we only made a little effort each day to be more aware of the fact that how we feel is supported by certain beliefs and thought structures that work together and ground themselves in what we experience as our general mood. And it's useful to reflect on this. We could ask ourselves, how would I rate my general moods or states of life? Are they negative or positive from a spiritual point of view? You see, our mood is the effect or the manifestation of deeper-seated thoughts and affections. And so they make up the ground in which these deeper things rest and are kept alive. This ground is called earth in the symbolic language of Scripture. The first heaven and earth refers to our first sense of self that develops prior to being regenerated through engaging in spiritual work. This first sense of self has its roots in the loves of self and the world. And it is this that must pass away if we are to find a closer connection to spiritual realities. The spiritual life involves having our sense of self, or the sense of our life, shifted from out of bodily and worldly or sensual pleasures and their delights into states of life that take their delight from heavenly things. Now, to delight in spiritual things involves things like reading the Word, seeking the Lord within it, being open to receiving insight in what it is we need to be working on in our life. It also involves disciplining ourselves to act on what we see is required of us. We should be looking to do this on a daily basis. That's what the spiritual life is about. And if we do this, then we will move towards having an increased sense of the Lord's presence in our life. Whatever else the book of Revelation may show us, it certainly shows us that this transition or this transformation that must take place in terms of our sense of ourselves cannot occur without tremendous upheaval and turmoil being manifest in our lives. So this is why hanging on to the Word and to spiritual teachings is so important. So that when this turmoil arises, we have something we can go back to and hang on to while the work plays itself out. Now, prior to the truths of the Word being established in us, we pretty much live off our lower emotional states. And these are quite unstable in many, many ways. And we remain unconscious of this fact for most of the time. And this emotional instability is captured in the scripture in the symbol of the sea. The analogy is just as the sea in a moment can be whipped up and take on a violent change of mood, so can we. If we have no solid spiritual teachings grounding us in our life from a practice that brings higher things into our consciousness, then we will find ourselves at the mercy of an underlying sea of negative emotion. And we will experience it as constant shifts in our states of life that we desperately seek to keep a lid on if we can. Now, some are better at presenting a calm exterior to the world than others. But regardless of how things appear on the surface, where there is no grounding in spiritual truths through a spiritual practice, all states of exterior calm are merely a surface veneer. A surface veneer that covers over a seething mass of negative emotions found in the proprium that lies beneath. It is through truths that we can be led, if we are willing, through a process where the first heaven and earth are able to pass away, so that a new heaven and earth can come into being. This new heaven is a new internal man. It is an internal man born from the truths of the Word. And this is what it means to be born again. It means having truths worked into your life so that they can form a higher internal aspect to yourself. And because it is the Word worked into our life that makes heaven within us, it is also the carrier of the Lord's presence. Now, the new earth is made up of that which is also of the Word. But it is the literal sense of the Word that forms a new external man. Only here it is the literal sense of the Word understood in a new way. It is understood in a new way due to the revelation of the spiritual meaning that is found within it, that is given to us in the heavenly doctrines. This new understanding of the literal sense of the Word is what forms a firm foundation for spiritual life. This new earth is able to ground within us a taste of what is heavenly. States within the Lord is able to be present. Present as a sense of peace, of love, of joy. And so it is said that the sea is no longer. Because when our life becomes grounded in the Word, the hellish emotions that make up that sea are no longer able to affect us or affect our life. So if we want heavenly states of life to rule in us, then we must be prepared to work to have what obstructs removed. This work is what every one of us, in fact, it's what every member of the human race is called to. And it is clear that the Lord has given us everything we need in order to see a new heaven and earth founded within us. This is our inheritance, a new mind, a new internal man, and a new external man, a new heaven and a new earth. So the old is passed away. The challenge for us all is whether we will lay aside the things of external life and make seeking the kingdom of God our highest priority. Amen.